Give the world a smile each day.
Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church, and we are located in Grove City, Ohio. I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Well, good Thursday to you. How was church last night? My, what a wonderful time. Well, we had here at Bible Baptist Church with Joe and Amy Hendricksman. They're our missionaries in Oaxaca, Mexico. And boy, what an exciting update they had and what great things God is doing in them, through them, with them in Oaxaca, Mexico. What a joy to partner with them as our missionaries. So we had a great service where we were, and I hope you had a great service where you were, that you were in your place and you were a blessing to your church and to your pastor, and you're ready to take on the last couple days here of October and then turn the calendar and head into November. Remember, time change this weekend. You'll fall back an hour, get that extra hour of sleep on Saturday night. That's a marvelous thing, and you should be bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and ready to go for the Lord's Day on Sunday. Now, I mentioned yesterday we want to talk to you today about money talks. Money talks. Luke 19 is the conversion of a man named Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector. You know the story if you've been in church at all. Zacchaeus, a short fella, he climbed a tree to see who Jesus was. And Jesus stopped and said in verse number 5, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be a guest with a man that's a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." The very first person to reach the status of billionaire was a man who knew how to set goals and follow through. At the age of 23, he'd became a millionaire. And by age 50, he was a billionaire. Every decision, every attitude, every relationship was tailored to create his personal power and wealth. But 3 years after turning 50, he became ill at 53 years of age. His entire body became racked with pain, lost all the hair on his head. In complete agony, the world's only billionaire could buy anything he wanted, but he could only digest milk and crackers. An associate wrote he could not sleep, he would not smile, and nothing in life meant anything to him. His personal, highly skilled physicians predicted he'd die within a year. The year passed agonizingly slow, and as he approached death, he awoke one morning with the vague remembrances of a dream. He could barely recall the dream, but he knew it had something to do with not being able to take any of his successes with him into the next world. The man who would control the business world suddenly realized he was not in control of his own life. He was left with a choice. He called his attorneys, accountants, and managers and announced he wanted to channel his assets to hospitals, research, and mission work. And on that day, John D. Rockefeller established his Rockefeller Foundation. The new direction eventually led to the discovery of penicillin, cures for current strains of malaria, tuberculosis, and diphtheria. The list of discoveries resulting from his choice is enormous. But perhaps the most amazing part of Rockefeller's story is that the moment he began to give back a portion of all that he'd earned, his body's chemistry was so altered that he got better. And when it looked as if he would die at 53, he lived to be 98. Nothing changes people like money. Ask anyone about money and they'll tell you how they would like to have more. But money won't make you happy. If it didn't make Howard Hughes happy, it won't make you happy. It didn't make Elvis happy, it won't make you happy. It doesn't make the pro athlete happy, it won't make you happy. Money can buy things, but it doesn't buy happiness. Money can buy things, but it doesn't buy satisfaction. Money can buy a new house, but not contentment in the house. Money can take you some places, but it cannot take you to heaven. Now, you've heard the expression, money talks, and that's a true statement. Your money does say a great deal about you. Your money says something about your salvation. It did for Zacchaeus, didn't he? He said, okay, Lord. Once he received Jesus joyfully, it says, if I've taken anything by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Well, boy, did his attitude about money change. Remember the rich man who came to Jesus, the rich young ruler? And Jesus said, sell all you have and come follow me. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He didn't want to part with those possessions. He wouldn't part with his riches. But when you're saved, you want to help. When you're saved, you want to give. Before salvation, you may have thought about the church was just all about getting your money. Well, what changed? How come you're a giver now? How come you're a tither now? You know why? Because salvation happened. That's why. But salvation also says something about your heart. Billy Graham once said that a checkbook is a theological document. It'll tell you who and what you worship. Your mouth says, I love God. Does your bank account say the same thing? Does your bank account say amen to that? My mouth says, I love missions. Does my bank account say that? My mouth says, souls are important to me. Does my bank account say that? You see, you're not truly consecrated to God until your money is consecrated to God too. Oh, preacher, you know, if I won the millions, I'd give half to the church. Well, you're giving half now. If you make $40,000 now and you won't give 10% or 15%, what makes you think you'd give half if you won a million? See, money shows where our heart is. Oh, you can drop 60, 80 bucks on tickets. I mean, those are the cheap seats at Ohio Stadium. Pay to park anywhere from 20 bucks and up, and or maybe spend 20 to 50 bucks at least on eats and drinks. You get a jersey to wear, you may drop another 50 to 100 bucks. You'll be an average $200 on a game, not counting even your tickets hardly. Why do people do that 100,000 strong every week and nobody ever complains about it? You know why? It's where their heart is. And then you come to church the next day and complain about putting $5 in the offering. It talks about your heart. Money talks about your salvation. Money talks about your heart. Money talks about your love. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten son. He's given us everything for our enjoyment in this life, and he's given us what it takes to get into eternity with him. He gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, and then raise him from the dead 3 days later. So he has victory over death, victory over the wages of sin. But hey, listen, giving doesn't get any better than that. God so loved me that he gave, and if I so love God, I will give. You wouldn't rob somebody you love. Yet God told the people of Israel, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. If you take your paycheck and you give less than 10%, you're robbing God. You say, oh, preacher, that tithing's Old Testament. Fine, give more than 10% then. That's just, that was under the law. Grace always does more than the law requires. I read recently where the average church member gives 2.3% of their income. No wonder we're behind in getting the gospel to the world. W.A. Criswell told of an ambitious young man who told his pastor he'd promised God a tithe of his income. So they prayed for God to bless his career. At the time, he was making $40 a week and tithing $4. But in a few years, it increased to $500 per week. And so he called on the phone and asked the pastor if he would release from his tithing promise. It was getting too costly now. He said, well, pastor said, I don't see how you'll get released from your promise, but we can ask God to reduce your income back to $40 a week. Because you had no problem tithing $4. Oh, no, no, I don't want that. I don't want that. You see, God created us. He built us to be giving, loving creatures. That's why he set us an example of what it meant to give things away. You see, God is the most powerful being in the universe. He owns everything. And yet he so loved us that he gave his only begotten son that we might have eternal life. Does your money speak of your love for God? Money speaks of your heart. Where your heart is, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, is what Jesus said. What's dearest and most important to you? Your money will speak of your salvation. That is what the Bible teaches. Okay, money speaks of salvation. Money speaks of your heart. Money speaks of your love. And money speaks of your future. Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. In Luke 12, he told the story of a rich fool who gathered all his things up, and he said, I've got so much, my barns won't hold it. I know what I'll do. I'll tear these down, and I'll build bigger barns. And God said, thou fool, this night thy soul will be required of thee. And then whose shall those things be? You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. There's really only two choices. You either send it on ahead or you leave it all behind. Howard Hughes left it all behind. Elvis left it all behind. Marilyn Monroe left it all behind. Bill Gates left it all behind. Or he will. Money. Money I've given to the work of God. I'll see you again. Money given for the gospel, for missions to get the gospel around the world. I'll see you again. My money talks, and you know what it says? I'm laying up treasure in heaven. Why should you go to church? Because church is a place where you can lay up treasure in heaven. You express your love for God and others. It can be expressed through giving. Through giving. I mind a story about a wealthy but very selfish lady who died and went to heaven. She was told she'd be taken to the house which had been prepared for her. She passed by many beautiful mansions and saw in them people whom in this life had been very poor and somewhat rejected by others. Finally, on the very outskirts of heaven, she was shown a very small, run-down house and told it was hers. She began to complain and protested, but she was told, we're sorry, but this is all we could do with the materials you sent up. His life before Jesus came in, he was born in 1874 on a farm near Ontario at the second of 11 children, brought up with Mennonite parents. At the age of 18, he took a job at Ferguson's grocery store in Fort Erie and later invested in a cheese company in Buffalo. He went to Chicago, Illinois, to look after the company branch in that city, and while there, his partners eased him out of the business. Stranded in Chicago in 1903 and had $65 in his pocket, he put his knowledge of merchandising to good use. He obtained a horse and a wagon and every day bought cheeses in the wholesale warehouse district of the city and resold them to small stores, saving the merchants the task of making the trip. The business began to prosper, and by 1909, several of his brothers had joined the company as permanent employees: Charles, John, Fred, and Norman. In that year, the business was incorporated under the name of J.L. Craft and Brothers Company, with James L. Craft as president. He was head of the Kraft Cheese Corporation, a man who had given approximately 25% of his enormous income to Christian causes for many years. And he said this, quote, the only investment I ever made, which has paid consistently increasing dividends, is the money I have given to the Lord. What a testimony. Your money talks. What's your money saying about you? What's it say? Money should talk of your salvation. Money should talk about your heart. Money should talk about your love. Money should talk about your future. What's your money saying about you today? I hope it says the right things. And hope it says that you love God. Well, let's make our money talk, shall we? And may our money show our love for the Lord Jesus. Well, have a great Thursday, everybody. Remember, Bridge to Recovery tonight, our addictions program, our recovery program, 6:30 every Thursday night right here at Bible Baptist Church. Come on out and join us. Meet others who are finding victory and freedom over stubborn habits and addictions in their life, and a newfound walk with the Lord at 6:30 this evening at Bible Baptist Church. And until tomorrow, this is Brother Slayball reminding you, be good to everyone, because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service and on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We also host the Bridge to Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people and our community. We meet every Thursday at 6:30 in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.
The joy of serving Jesus with us.
bright sunny sky.